Thank you, John Gakandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, August 12th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Afrobarometer says political and civic engagement by African youth is declining, particularly among young women.
Zimbabweans expressed dismay over state security agents' move to monitor discussions in civic society meetings.
We have seen a worrying trend that members from peace, members from the president's office, they sneak in those meetings, and upon realizing that they are there, some people become afraid.
The MDCT says all is set for its public protest in the Midlands province tomorrow.
And swimmer Kirsty Coventry is ready to take on top swimmers this evening in the Olympic Games.
Tonight is the big event for us as a nation, where Kirsty Coventry goes into the pool to do her signature event, the 200-meter backstroke. She did a very beautiful performance last night.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
In the studio today, we have a guest, Stanford Chibaya, a Mandela Washington Fellowship alumni who is finance and business consultant. Welcome to our show, Mr. Chibaya.
Good evening. How are you?
Thank you so much. What do you think about International Youth Day and its theme this year, focusing on youth's participation in eradicating poverty by year 2030?
It's a very important theme in the sense that it's trying to invest in the youth being the people who will take Africa into the future. So we're looking at a scenario where we're trying to empower the youth, and empowering them, we're trying to make them people who will be the bearers that can then lead the nations and the countries into the near future. So what I think is it's a very applicable theme which will enforce us to work towards ensuring that we do what it takes to empower the youth now to ensure that they are able to change the communities where they're operating from.
And Mr. Chibaya, according to an Afrobarometer survey, political and civic engagement by African youth is declining. What could be the cause of this, judging from what you've seen being here in the United States and what you're seeing at home?
I think the biggest issue coming from back in Africa is a scenario where the youth, in most cases, they have limited opportunities. So access to opportunities and having a platform where they can show their talent and express what they can do is the biggest challenge that the youth are facing, which is not the case here. Here, I think it's a land of vast opportunities, and there are a lot of opportunities that people can explore, and the systems are also in place where whatever that you take on, you can pursue it to the very end. So the challenge that I see is to have a scenario where we set up a platform where we can have the necessary structures where youth can identify opportunities, they can identify areas that they want to be involved in, and they can pursue that as they go. And you also even have appropriate support structures as we go. Talk of institutions or mentors or people that can support people, even business coming in to support youth in their endeavors.
A UNICEF report indicates that Zimbabwe needs about $45 million to address the healthcare and employment needs of the country's youth. Can you give us your thoughts on this?
I think the biggest issue is if you're looking at healthcare and opportunities, it's a very topical issue, and that is a lot of money to start with. But we can start in little ways in terms of addressing how people live. For instance, if you're looking at healthcare, you are looking at perhaps even how people eat, their lifestyles, and things like that. So before we even start looking for that much money, we can start in small ways in terms of addressing how we live, how we take care of ourselves. And then obviously we then need to look at issues of trying to find that kind of money to address healthcare issues. A lot of that money can also go in terms of making sure that we've got the necessary equipment, with the necessary medical drugs, with the necessary structures that can be put in place to make sure that health as a sector is pretty much in a good shape. You know, we've got a scenario where Parinyatwa, for instance, as a hospital at some point in time, didn't even have running water, you know, even drugs. So this is some of the pertinent issues that do need to be addressed, and without money, that cannot be resolved. So that being an issue certainly has to be addressed, but there are other things that we can also do apart from that to ensure that health as a sector is in a pretty much good shape. And if that is taken care of, what it then means is the youth and people also now have adequate time and are in a good state to focus on issues that can help develop the country as it is.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, Mr. Chabaya. That was Stanford Chabaya, a Mandela Washington Fellowship alumni. He's a finance and business consultant who was our guest this evening. Please note that we'll be live streaming a discussion of International Youth Day on all our Facebook pages today. Don't miss it.
Oh, thank you again. And political and civic engagements by African youth is declining and is particularly weak among young women, according to a new Afrobarometer survey findings. The findings point to a significant gap between empowerment aspirations of the African youths and the reality of youth engagement. The findings are part of a new report titled "Does Less Engaged Mean Less Empowered? Political Participation Lags Among New African Youths, Especially Women," published today on International Youth Day by Afrobarometer, a pan-African non-partisan research network that conducts public attitude surveys on democracy, governance, economic conditions, and related issues in more than 35 countries in Africa.
According to the United Nations, the theme of the 2016 International Youth Day is the road to 2030, eradicating poverty and achieving sustainable consumption and production. At the same time, Zimbabwe and UNICEF have released a report concluding that the Southern African nation needs about $45 million to address the healthcare and employment needs of the country's youth. Sebastian Mofu has more from Harare.
In a related development, a ZANU-PF member of parliament tells Studio 7 Skips Dube in a VOA political panel featuring MDCT lawmaker Tabita Kumalo that some civil servants in the country are working against the government in an effort to remove ZANU-PF from power. Chuma says some of the civil servants recently attempted to cause chaos through encouraging protesters to revolt against Statutory Instrument 64, which blocks the importation of some basic commodities.
The Minister of Industry has been explaining the issue pertaining to the SI-64. To demystify it, the SI-64 is a statutory instrument which is there, which Honorable Kumalo knows about because it is passed through Parliament. We have all seen it. But we have people that are always bent on sabotaging whatever the government was deemed the government of ZANU-PF is doing, so that they demonize and make us look like we are the worst and evil people that you can ever meet in this world, which is not true. So that is our biggest challenge. That, like I said, we have people that are not sincere. Some who are actually working with government, some who are in the same government office, who twist things so that at the end of the day, their goal is to bring out anger from the people, so that people might end up resorting to jambajaring and uprising against the government.
But Mr. Honorable Juma, where are the 2.2 million jobs, one? And secondly, when we talk about issues to do with industries, they're actually collapsing. So are you fixing it as per the people's demands?
Can I also ask?
Exactly. The 2 million jobs, like I said, there must be a conducive atmosphere for those 2 million jobs to come in. First, those jobs, we have anticipated that foreign direct investment that was going to come in to create that. But then we have other people within Zimbabwe going out there discouraging those people from coming in to create those jobs for us.
Honorable Kumalo?
I think in a nutshell, Honorable Chuma, what you should say is you have done nothing. You gave people promises which you have not fulfilled. And all what we are saying, people don't eat the sector instrument 64. They want jobs. They want food. They want their kids to go to school. No one is sabotaging this government. You are sabotaging yourselves because you are disrespecting the rights of the people of Zimbabwe. You are violating the constitution left, right, and center in terms of the rights of the people. You have to respect human rights violation for the investment environment to be conducive. The people on the ground that are making noise are very sincere. You are not sincere as ZANU-PF and government, and you are the ones that keep on twisting things day in and day out. There is no way in this world where government workers are being paid on the 44th of a month. Every single calendar in the world has got 30, 31, 28, or 29 days. But in Zimbabwe, you've got 42 days, 37 days. It has never happened. You are not being sincere. And if you want a conducive atmosphere, listen to the people. Stop killing people. Stop the abductions. Where is Itai Dzamara as we speak? And your mom on it. There is no way Itai Dzamara could have been kidnapped by anybody else besides the system of ZANU-PF. Because you are talking of issues that you have failed to implement. You have created 2.2 million vendors. Sadly, you had a fund that was a youth fund for just to cement on what you're saying, that businesses must be opened by ordinary people. Agreed. Where is the money? The money that was meant for the youth, it was benefiting your leadership and some of your cronies, your looters. There's no way we are going to secure investors in this country if we still have the Indigenization Act. There's no way. There's no way you can come to my house to visit. And the next thing you then tell me you're the owner of my house and I'm your tenant. There's no way. Listen to the people and stop kidnapping people, raping women, tear gassing us.
Honorable Juma, we still remember that when we were campaigning in 2013, you were talking about Zim Asset and all those kind of issues. But now you appear to have abandoned all that. Can you react to that briefly, please?
Zim Asset has never been abandoned. It's a process, and what we realized, the companies, most of the that have been closing down, are companies that were owned by the white people. And they did it deliberately, actually, to frustrate us. And we were fools to actually get political independence and forgot about the economic independence part of the whole equation. And that is what we are trying to address now, to say, no, let us own this economy. That way, there's no way Kumalo or Chuma are going to close down because it's a means of survival, right, Zimbabwe?
And that was MDCT lawmaker. I beg your pardon. That was Joseph Chuma from ZANU-PF, and they were talking there with MDCT lawmaker Tabita Kumalo. Both spoke with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Bulawayo.
Civic society leaders in Zimbabwe have expressed dismay over the heavy presence of suspected state security agents in their meetings, workshops and related activities following nationwide protests, saying this is stifling freedom of association and freedom of speech, as some activists are now scared of speaking out their minds. Some people are even scared of attending the meetings.
If President Robert Mugabe's government does not take action, Zimbabwe would experience a population boom while crime rate would increase by about 12% in the next 10 years as unemployed youths embark on vices that include robbery and unprotected sex.
Well, I would like to apologize for that story. We'll be bringing you the story shortly. Elephant numbers in the Zambezi Valley declined by 40% between 2001 and 2014 and in the areas south of Lake Kariba, according to findings of the Great Lake Census, the Jambos population declined by 76%. An elephant population survey carried out in 2008 indicated that there were about 70,000 elephants in Zimbabwe. As a result of the depletion of the elephant population, Director Richard Mazdop of the non-governmental organization Zambezi Society is here in the USA to meet with conservation organizations and potential funders who may help in anti-poaching in the Zambezi Valley. In a statement, the Zambezi Society said Mazdop will be talking to influential conservation leaders and individuals interested in the work being done by the society and other organizations to protect Africa's elephants and their environs. Meanwhile, a 25-year-old Bulawayo man, Steve Kotsi, was trampled to death by an elephant in the Wange National Park on Monday. A professional hunter, Raphael Ndlovu, was called to track and kill the elephant by the National Parks and Wildlife Management, tells Studio 7 more about the incident.
Apparently, this family was coming from Sinamatela. It's one of the national parks in Wange. They were going to drive from Sinamatela up to Main Camp and make their way out. Either they're going to Bulawayo or Wange. So on their way, I heard that they saw some elephants crossing the road. And apparently, I think one of them suggested that he will get a better view if he gets out of the car. But he didn't check to see if the elephants were, all of them, they've crossed the road. It looks like there was another elephant which was still here to cross the road, but he was standing looking the other direction while there's an elephant coming behind him. He didn't see that one. And I'm told the elephant just came from a blind spot and actually took him, and he carried him for some few meters before he dropped him on the ground.
We understand that the National Parks called you to take care of the elephant. What happened?
No, they came to me and they said, since it was, I'm a professional guide or professional hunter, they wanted assistance to actually to go and follow up this elephant. But it was late because when we heard of the incident, it was around just after 5. You know, to prepare and get in on the ground and get to the spot. And from where I am to Main Camp, it's about 20 kilometers. So it's obvious if we left, we're going to get there in the dark, and there's no way you could actually do anything.
That was Raphael Ndlovu, a professional hunter. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Dete. Today is World Elephant Day, meant to highlight the importance of these wild animals, with some conservationists calling for the tight monitoring of elephant populations in ensuring that they are not decimated through poaching.
We now take a look at regional and international news.
Donald Trump stated today that he was only being sarcastic when he said that President Barack Obama founded the terror group Islamic State, and the Republican presidential nominee blamed the news media for representing him by taking his statement seriously.
And a top Angolan security official is blaming opposition allied protesters for sparking clashes in the capital last week that led to soldiers to shoot a dead teenage boy and a demolishment crew to kill a toddler. And the news coming in from the Olympics. The Mighty Warriors have arrived home following the elimination in Group F of the Olympic Games, which featured the top teams USA, Canada and Australia. Zifa spokesperson Kolani Gwesela said they did not organize any welcome event for the Warriors. The Mighty Warriors, who performed badly in the tournament. Meanwhile, Kirsty Coventry is set to compete in the finals of the 200-meter backstroke competition this evening. Zimbabwe Olympics press officer Merit Muswembiri speaks with Studio 7 about this and other events.
Tonight is the big event for us as a nation. We're testicles and goes into the pool to do her signature event, the 200-meter backstroke. And she's quite ecstatic. When we spoke to her yesterday, she was saying the final is anyone's game. She's hoping to enjoy every part of it, but also she's now optimistic to say, well, I'm in the final. Anything can happen. I can win a medal. So we are really ecstatic to look at tonight's event.
Can you update us what came out of the rowing events that Zimbabwe was represented in today?
There are two rowers, Andy Peebles and Martin Thornycroft, taking part in the event today. Andy was taking part in the final of the E category. The E category, in rowing, they categorized them from A to F. So he was taking part in the E category, and he did win that category. It's good that it gives us a performance gauge to see if he's improving or what, which is basically what we were able to mark, to gauge, to say he is quite improved. But that does not give us any medal whatsoever. And Martina was also racing in the semi-final for A and B, where she was hoping to make the medal race, which is the A category. That's coming up tomorrow, but unfortunately, she finished the fifth because the top three from the AB semifinal were then going to progress through to the A category final. So unfortunately for us, Martin will be racing in the B final tomorrow, which unfortunately is not a medal race.
That was Zimbabwe Olympics Press Officer Merit Mzwembiri speaking with Studio 7 from Rio in Brazil.
At the same time, Zimbabweans have praised swimming sensation Kirsty Coventry for reaching the finals of the 200-meter backstroke competition at the Rio Olympics Games, hoping that she'll win one of the three medals up for grabs this evening. Reporter Michael Kariati has more details.
Sports expert Matthias Kufandirimwa says Coventry should be applauded for a job well done.
She was competing with people who are half her age or slightly below her age. Considering what she has done in the past, I think that's the best. I think we should applaud her.
Football fan Wallace Mawire echoes the same sentiments, noting that he is proud of the Zimbabwean swimmer.
I think it was not a bad performance, and she's also trying to fly our flag high.
Kufandirimwa also took his time to praise rower Michin Thornycroft, saying she surpassed expectations.
I think she has achieved a lot for this country, and she's a medal hopeful for the future, like 2020.
Now to the Kasolaga Premier Soccer League. Action enters its week 19 with second place Capes United with the tallest order when they travel to the Colliery for a date with Wange. Chipangano rarely lose at home, and the Green Machine are aware of that. Capes United supporter Mishek Chisaga admits that they have a throw order, but says as Capes United, they will do their best to come up with maximum points.
Normally, they play very good football when they are in their backyard. But as Capes United, we will try by all means to make sure that we rise to the occasion so that we can keep ourselves in the race.
Top of the table, FC Platinum have a relatively easy home task against Mutare City Rovers. The rest of the fixtures are as follows. Saturday, Ngezi Platinum Stars versus Haomine, Baobab, Harare City versus Border Strikers, Rufaro, Cholocho Pirates versus Triangle, White City, Chapungu versus ZPC Kariba, Asco. Sunday, Dynamos versus Blawai City, Rufaro, Highlanders versus Chicken Inn, Baba Fields. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
MDCT President Morgan Tsvangirai will tomorrow lead thousands of his Midland supporters in a peaceful march against continued company closures in Gweru. Party spokesman Obed Gutu says the protest is a continuation of a campaign they launched in Harare in April, which has seen the party staging demonstrations in Bulawayo, Mutare, and recently Masvingo. Gutu tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that they have already notified the police, as is required by the law.
The MDC Red Army, joined by all other concerned Zimbabweans, will be peacefully marching, demonstrating against joblessness, demonstrating against issues to do with corruption. We all know that the Midlands capital of Gweru used to be a major industrial hub with big companies such as Buttershoe Company, Zimbabwe Alloys, Zimcast, Zimglass, Kariba Batteries, to mention but a few. But if you go to Gweru right now, Jonga, it is like a ghost town.
We've of late seen your president, Mr. Tsvangirai, leading these demonstrations. Will he be part of tomorrow's procession?
Definitely. Dr. Tsvangirai will be leading the demonstration in the Midlands capital city of Gweru tomorrow. As you know, he was in the provincial capital of Mashingo province, Mashingo, last week on Saturday. And he will continue to lead the Red Army. Red Army, which is a peaceful army which does not use guns or any other weapon. It is the Red Army of joy, peace, and harmony. And he will be leading the army as the commander of the MDC Red Army.
And that was MDCT spokesman Obed Gudu on the line from Harare with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
And this evening we have a Zimbabwean musician on our show. Who is this person?
My name is Diana Sankange, also known as Mangwenya on stage. And I am a mbira player and a vocalist from Zimbabwe. Nika wakadi kundi uta, wakakodi kundi ambira. Ukakodi ko kundi rumanzere, wakadi kundi ambira. Kutisua nyangweri pisesei, pasipacha tonotwa. I'm a mother, I'm a wife, and I'm 28 years old. I was born in Harare, and I come from Zimba. I started playing bira in 2012. For me, playing bira is like a journey. I first started singing in the Urban Grooves era, where we were singing the R&B, you know, the music as young people used to do around 2007 to 2010, somewhere there. And then for me, bira playing was like a revolution from that music into the Zimbabwe traditional music with a fusion of bira. I had people who inspired me, of course, into playing the mbira, the likes of the late Chuoniso, the likes of the late Jimisani Maraire, the likes of Buya Stella Chiwishi. I always looked up to them when they played the mbira, and for me, I've always loved traditional instruments, and that's how I got inspired into playing the mbira. And I had a tutor who taught me how to play mbira, the late Takuma Fika. And then from there, I have just been teaching myself how to play the mbira ever since he passed on up until today. This song is about, I love to call it a revelation song, you know. I'm singing about Kwaeza. Kwaeza meaning it has dawned. So it's about revealing the hidden things in life, you know, the hidden things in society, you know. And for me, it's a very personal song. I wrote it because it was, I was inspired by the life that I live, the everyday life that I live. There are some certain issues in my life which have reviewed themselves. So That's where the song originates from.
That there was Zimbabwean musician Diana Samkange, affectionately known as Mangwe Nya. She was speaking with us from the United Kingdom, but she comes from Zimbabwe.
And tonight, we on Live Talk, we have hosts with our host of The Connection, Ntungameli Nkomo and Tatenda Kumbo. We'll be talking with listeners about International Youth Day. What do you think about the youth today? And that's it for tonight. My name is Chris Gande. We're handing you over to PJ. Good night.
And I'm Marvelous Mtlanganya Huye, wishing a pleasant evening and a very good night.